So, how long have you been Ant-Man again?
I wish I could fight bad guys like you.
I seem to mess it up almost every time.
Who would have believed that in your hour of need, you would turn to us?
Not me.
Because we robbed you. Do you remember? That's us.
Hello world, here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Welcome to the Box Office Bros podcast. Box Office Bros is a part of the Bears Barroom Radio Network. I'm John Santucci. Call me Tooch. With me, as always, is my co-host, Joe Mandel. Joe, how are you?
Doing well, man. Glad to be here. Ready to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Awesome. Our guest tonight is cartoonist, comic book fan, Ethan Cultramiro from Oak Park, Illinois. Ethan, how are you?
I'm good, fellas. Thanks for having me back on.
All right, Ethan, welcome back. Do you guys want some juice boxes and string cheese?
I mean, if you have it.
I was listening to some Morrissey. You're going to just go to the fridge and... All right, so what a great movie, guys. Everyone's in a good mood. And we're going to bring in Aurora Cultramiro. Aurora, are you there?
Yes.
What did you think of Ant-Man and the Wasp?
It was a good movie.
It really was. It really was. What did you think of Cassie?
I think she was really brave.
Wasn't she great? She actually reminded me of you. But I have one question for you. Is your daddy the world's greatest grandma?
No. He's the world's greatest cousin.
Nice. Well, go ahead, Ethan. You got some questions for Aurora?
Yeah. So Aurora, our daughter here, is here to give the kid perspective. Aurora, do you think that this is a good movie for kids?
Yes.
What's a good age range for Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I think 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm. And who do you think also might like it?
Really young adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think they would like about it?
Like the cool suits and stuff.
Yeah, it's very high tech.
Right.
Cool. So what did you think about the Wasp? This is, you know, yet another great female hero for Marvel. Would you like to see her join the Avengers?
Yes.
Yeah, you think she'd be a good addition to the team?
Yes.
Great.
And what sort of grade would you give the movie Aurora?
A.
Good. Right on. That's what I would give it, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Same here. Well, thank you so much, Aurora. We'll see you next time, hopefully.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys.
Thanks, kiddo.
Yeah, thank you, Aurora. Ant-Man and the Wasp, man. This was so much fun. To me, this is, you know, up there, the pinnacle of the Marvel Universe realized, you know, where they could get away with a bunch of, you know, Marvel Universe in-jokes. The cast had a great time. There were really a lot of crazy, cool ideas. You know, the miniaturization was done so well. Great action, great fight scenes, great cast. Cast looked like they were having a really fun time. What's your overall opinion of the movie, Joe? Overall view?
I had high expectations going in, and it still blew me out of the water. Like, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was funnier than the first Ant-Man. Probably the funniest Marvel movie ever made. And for me, it totally kind of changed things in the Marvel Universe because, you know, granted these characters don't have that big of a role to play in the overall story of the Marvel Universe, but in their own way, their story made me feel more connected with them than it did with anybody else because these are relatable characters that are really funny. And for me, it's the best time I had at the movies all summer, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. I liked it better than Solo, and I liked it about as much as Infinity War. So for me, it's a win, and it's a hilarious time at the theater.
Yeah, it really was. It's a winner, worth the money, worth the price of admission. Ethan, what's your overall view of Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yeah, I think Joe took the words right out of my mouth. I had high expectations, and the movie exceeded them. It was really funny. A great sort of palate cleanser after the heaviness of Infinity War. It was really refreshing to me to see a movie that had really high stakes for the characters involved, but the whole world is not in jeopardy. You know, all of these movies can get so overblown with skyscrapers being destroyed and entire cities being decimated, and this movie doesn't have any of that. There's a lot at stake for the characters, and it never feels slight, but it's just a lot more fun and a lot more of an adventure than we've seen this summer so far.
Right, so worth the price of admission?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I plan on seeing it again if I get the chance. It's
yeah. Joe and I were talking about that too. We would go see it again. You know, that's the mark of a great movie. Mm-hmm. You know, great acting. You had a fantastic cast. You know, you really couldn't go wrong with the great cast they had. A lot like Deadpool 2. The Ant-Man second movie, Paul Rudd had a hand in the screenplay writing, and that really helped. He was great. Like Ryan Reynolds, I can't imagine anyone else playing Ant-Man. Paul Rudd does such a great job. He's funny, he's sensitive, physical enough to carry the role. And then, of course, you have great actors like Evangeline Lilly and Michael Douglas and Lawrence Fishburne, and Michelle Pfeiffer. A great cast, great direction. Overall, great. I'm going to go ahead and give this movie an A. I liked it as much as Infinity War. I liked it. You know, it was lighter. Infinity War, you know, like you said, Ethan, was heavy. And we'll talk about some of that connection to Infinity War later on in the spoilers section. But I'm going to go ahead and give it an A. And give me your grade, Joe, for Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I'm going to give this one an A as well. I loved every second of it. I couldn't wait to see it again as soon as I walked out. And for me to want to see it again, and also can't wait to buy it and have it in my own collection, that's how you know this is a fantastic movie. And I just had a lot of great laughs, and for me, that's a solid A.
Right on. And Ethan, you're great for Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yeah, I mean, I know an A-plus is hard to come by, but I'm leaning towards an A-plus because I had a blast, and it made me happy to be in this world again with these characters, and makes me want to spend more time with them. So yeah, this is one of the most fun movies I've seen in a really long time. So,
yeah, for sure.
I think I'm going A+.
Wow, excellent. Yeah, I think you know, the Blu-ray comes out with extras, maybe some extended scenes, we'll push it into that A+ area. It's probably one I'll buy. Definitely worth the price of admission. So before we head on into the spoilers section, Joe, tell the audience where we are next time Box Office Bros comes back.
Yeah, so I don't know if we're 100% on this, John, but I know you and I were talking about doing Skyscraper next week. Now, whether or not that comes to fruition, I'm not 100% sure, but we're going to plan on doing Skyscraper next week. And then if that falls through, the next one we will be doing is the first week of August, we will be doing a review of Mission Impossible Fallout.
Oh, that's going to be great. Can't wait for that one, too. That's going to be a good one. All right, so heading on into the spoilers section.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
All right, so in Box Office Bros, we always talk about the opening scene, how it sets the tone for the movie, and it really did. There's a prologue and an opening scene. Prologue is Hank and Janet. We're stopping a warhead, and I think we saw a flash of this in Ant-Man 1. And of course, Janet is lost in the quantum realm. It sets up one of the conflicts of the movie, which is the rescue of Janet from the contact from the quantum realm. She's been in there for 30 years, and Hank and Hope had given up hope for the most part. The true opening scene is a great scene with Scott and his daughter pretending to go on a heist, which I thought was great. What did you think of the opening scene with Cassie and Scott, Ethan?
Oh, I thought it was, you know, so charming and funny. The actress who plays Cassie, Ant-Man's daughter, is she has great chemistry with Paul Rudd and is one of those kids that you can really enjoy on screen without being too much of a ham or too sugary sweet. You know, she's her sense of humor's got some real bite to it, which is fun. And just sort of the over elaborate homemade pillow fort version of an Ant-Man heist was a really charming way to start the movie.
Yeah, it was really clever. Sets up the relationship between Scott and Cassie, And Ethan, you mentioned to Joe and I that Ant-Man is the only father in the Marvel Universe so far.
Yeah, the only father hero.
Hero.
Yeah, that I can think of. And I think, you know, family is a huge theme in this movie. And yeah. I love the way that they did it where, Scott Lang has a great relationship with his ex and,
for sure.
and her new husband. Or fiance, you know, the relationship there is really positive and sweet, which is kind of goes against the cliche that you see in movies. And, and then even with Hank Pym and his daughter trying to find their mom, family was a huge theme in the movie.
For sure. You nailed it. Joe, what'd you think of the opening scenes?
Oh, man, I thought it was hilarious. The heist of Paul Rudd and the daughter, and it perfectly set the tone for the film. And as for the flashback scenes in the beginning, the CGI work to make Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Douglas look young again, let's just talk about how truly impressive that really is, because they looked young. I couldn't even tell there was CGI. It was great. Very, very well done, and a great way to open the movie.
Now, I went back and looked, and a young Bill Foster, who's played by Lawrence Fishburne, was played by Lawrence Fishburne's son, actually. So I'm not sure. I was probably some CGI, and of course, the young Michael Douglas was also another actor, as was the young Michelle Pfeiffer. I'll have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure that they were aided by CGI, but they were played by younger actors. I thought that was interesting, too. And I think the girl that I'm not sure, but the girl who played Cassie, Abby Fortson Reed, I'm not sure if she's the director Peyton Reed's daughter, but she was really good, man. She was really excellent. Did a great job as Cassie.
Agreed.
Right. So the second conflict that's set up in this first act is Scott's legal issues, and he is, of course, this movie takes place after the events of Avengers Civil War, and Scott is under house arrest, and he is carefully monitored, or not so carefully monitored, by Agent Jimmy Woo, who's played played great by Randall Park. I thought was really
hilarious.
This was a great character and a great acting job by Randall Park. Joe, what did you think of Jimmy Woo?
Oh man, it was absolutely hilarious. His back and forth with Paul Rudd about the magic tricks and wanting to go out to dinner and jokingly. I mean, he was just, like, you could tell he was, you know, he's one of those guys that's such a nice guy, and he kind of gets tossed in his job, or he doesn't have, well, he's not supposed to be a nice guy, and he's kind of like at war with himself the whole time. So it was really interesting to see that, and especially that scene at the end where there's that giant Ant-Man suit that he's just kind of sitting there and talking to him. I just thought it was hilarious.
Right, great, great comedic delivery. What'd you think of Randall Park's performance, Ethan?
Yeah, absolutely loved it. I mean, another example of him, you know, great chemistry with Paul Rudd. Their comic timing together was spectacular. I mean, I was cracking up at every scene. And I think also another time where maybe in other movies that character would have been a jerk or he would have been stupid. But even when he seemed in over his head, he never seemed like a bad guy, or he never seemed like Scott Lang was playing him for an idiot necessarily. He just maybe was a few steps ahead of him. So I think, you know, the movie just had such positive energy to it Jimmy Woo was a big part of that.
Yeah, it was you nailed it. It's a positive movie, and that's why we all loved it so much. You know, had good family messages, had good, great storyline. Everybody, came coming together. A lot of teamwork, and overall, you know, in a positive direction for the characters and the Marvel Universe. So, Scott has an ankle monitoring bracelet, you know, and of course he's been home confinement, and he's running a business with his partners from the last movie, Luis, Dave, and Kurt. And what'd you think of the name of their company, Joe?
Gotta love it, man. X-Con Security Service, baby.
I love that. Yeah, it was great. Now, this was a great time. This movie took the time to develop Luis more, and he was a great character in the first movie too. And you really felt they gave him a little more spotlight this time, and it really paid off. Michael Pena was fantastic. Ethan, what'd you think of Michael Pena around this time?
Oh, I thought he was phenomenal. You know, I think that the whole ensemble of led by Luis of the ex-cons, great addition to the film. The fact that they brought him back and expanded their role was great. The moment when they give Luis a truth serum and he goes into, you know, one of his epic stories.
Great.
It was just hysterical. And I remember reading in the first film that Michael Pena was really nervous because he had never done a comedy before. He'd only done dramatic films. And now it's like, you just think of him as he was nervous to be doing a comedy with a guy like Paul Rudd.
Right.
And now it's just, you just think of him as a comedic genius on that same level.
Yeah, he was fantastic. So many, they mined it for all of its worth, you know, Luis's character from the truth serum scene, the story. My son and I were high-fiving during that part. It was so funny. We were laughing so hard.
Hysterical.
And, you know, of course, the scenes where he's riding around with Hope, you know, in the car, shrinking and growing and shrinking and growing. There's so many great the miniaturization scenes and enlarging scenes were so creative, especially mm-hmm. with the fight scenes. It had real, this movie, we got what we wanted, Joe. You know, we were complaining about how, you know, the action fight scenes weren't as good. You got a great fight scenes between Ant-Man, the Wasp, and Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost, a great character. Her story was one of the struggles, was her struggle to get, you know, back to normal. You know, she was a reluctant villain, played great by Hannah John Kamen. I wasn't familiar with her. I mean, I looked back and I had seen her in a few things, Game of Thrones being one of them, and she was really excellent as Ava. Ethan, what'd you think of her performance?
You know, I thought she was great. I mean, here's someone, like you said, is kind of newer to the screen and is in scenes with people like Lawrence Fishburne and Michael Douglas and is able to hold her own. And the fact that, you know, again, kind of going back to that theme of positivity, she was a sympathetic villain. You really felt for her. And, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think once they learned more about her, were more concerned with helping her than just, like, killing her or defeating her, which is another great theme that, you know, that these are heroes and they want to help everybody. And I thought that was another kind of refreshing thing after seeing a lot of you know, death and destruction in our adventure movies this summer.
Right. And I'm gonna think back to the scene where we first meet the Ghost, and it sets up the fourth conflict, which was the multiple attempted thefts of Hank Pym's technology. And the main character behind there, the theft attempts, was Sonny Birch, played by Walton Goggins. Veteran character actor. Joe, what'd you think of Sonny Birch?
Man, he was incredible, man. he played like this great Southern kind of villain that was kind of like kind of gave you this wholesome vibe at first, and then he kind of turned it on, and he was this really evil dude. And it kind of hit extra home with me because I spent the 4th of July in the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, and I came back and saw this movie on Sunday, and there's this Southern guy who plays the villain, and I'm like, he's got that Southern charm down, man. I really enjoyed his performance, and it was especially hilarious towards the end when he got the truth serum, but overall, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he that's part of the great cast, you know, and this cast seemed like they had a really fun time. And let's talk about some of the veteran actors in this movie, led by Michael Douglas. And for me, it brought back some memories of seeing Michael Douglas on the streets of San Francisco. For me, it brought back memories of, you know, when he first broke into the entertainment industry. He played Detective Weller in the Streets of San Francisco. That movie, I was probably, you know, when that TV show came out, I was like just a little kid, man. But I remember my mom and dad watching the Streets of San Francisco, my mom being, Michael Douglas is so handsome. You know, but yeah. So I don't know, but that brought back memories, of course. And then Lawrence Fishburne, of course, who plays Bill Foster, one of Hank Pym's former colleagues. And it's interesting to note that Bill Foster was the name of Michael Douglas's character in Falling Down. Didn't know if you guys knew.
Interesting.
Great movie, Falling Down. If you haven't seen Falling Down, man, it's probably Michael Douglas's best role ever. If you haven't seen it, just really have to go check it out. So, great action scenes, the cars, this car stunt, expert direction by Peyton Reed. Great pace. There was never a dull moment. 2 hours went by super fast, and when you left, you wanted more. That's a sign of a great movie. What did you think of the direction of this movie, even by Peyton Reed?
Yeah, I mean, I think Peyton Reed is absolutely the right director for this material. I mean, his other movies, Down with Love, is a movie I really appreciated for its
humor. Great movie.
Bring It On. You know, I think he knows how to do the comedy. It's clear from this movie he's learned how to do the CGI, and I think he just brought his sense of humor and his sense of curiosity and creativity to the action sequences, because it really didn't feel like any other Marvel film, and so many action movies feel really overblown with so much destruction, and I think he found really creative ways to, you know, use Ant-Man and the Wasp's powers. And another thing just about Ghost that I liked, that I thought was really creative, is in so many of these Marvel films, the hero winds up fighting a version of themselves, you know, with the Black Panther and Killmonger, and even in the first Ant-Man fighting Yellow Jacket, where Ghost was so different, and they couldn't just out-shrink and outgrow each other. They really had to come up with a creative way to use their powers against her powers, and so that was another thing I really appreciated about this film.
Right, the fight scenes were fantastic. The teamwork between Ant-Man and the Wasp, especially in the the fight scene in the French restaurant was great. When we first encounter the Ghost, and Joe, what'd you think of the fight scenes? We got what we wanted, huh?
Yeah, it's about time, really. I mean, we had so many bad fight scenes this year, and they finally got it right. The amount, mixing the powers with, like, great martial arts and some of the Wasp's cool technology, like her little blasters and stuff. And, and then, you know, throwing the pepper shaker and then making it grow and someone running into it. It was just a great variety of things that kind of factored into these fight scenes. And I can't even imagine how long it took to concept and get that all together, because it was done masterfully.
It really was. So before we wrap it up, I want to talk about the third act, which was the car chase and the attempt to get back Hank Pym's laboratory, which was a great shrunken building that was like kind of like a Pullman suitcase, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah,
you know, and it culminates with a battle in escape in San Francisco Bay Harbor, Pier 39, with a gigantic Ant-Man.
Giant Man.
Scene. Yeah, Giant Man, of course, and you know, all of the characters coming together, of course, to finally win the day. So, what'd you think of the ending, the first ending, let's just call it this, the ending of the third act, before we talk about the actual ending, Ethan?
Yeah, I thought that was a great way to wrap up the film. You know, there was some great comic callbacks to the Truth Serum.
Yes,
there was. I was really pleasantly surprised that Ghost kind of chose to turn herself in. Like, she knew that she had some sins to atone for, and now that she was somewhat cured of the affliction that made her a villain, she was kind of ready to pay her debt, which was another, you know, kind of going back to that theme of making the right choice and positivity. And you still got, you know, the real bad guys, you know, Walter Goggins and his crew got, you know, some good comedic comeuppance. And, you know, the reuniting, you know, Hope with her mom and Dr. Pym with his wife was a huge payoff. And I have to also give a very special, you know, props to Paul Rudd for the scene where he plays Janet Van Dyne.
Yes.
Just hysterical.
Unbelievable. Yeah, great.
You know, and he sold it too. I mean, you believed the you believe the pathos and the comedy. So, you know, not a lot of actors could have pulled that scene off, but that was a huge high point for me.
Right. It was an exciting third act, you know, especially with the race against time and Hank going into the quantum realm, which really provided some great, really crazy, cool ideas, you know, with the shrinking down and the weird things that was in the quantum realm, the colorful, and finally reunited with his wife, played by Michelle Pfeiffer. And then the reunion of their family, including Scott. And I thought, I really would have liked Hope and Scott to have a little bit more romantic scenes, but I thought it was still well done. What'd you think of the ending, Joe, the first ending?
Yeah, I liked it. It felt a little bit buttoned up for me, but I still really liked it. It felt a little too happy-go-lucky, and I was very relieved once the mid-credit scene rolled around.
Right, so let's before we head on talk about the actual ending, I want to talk about the great job that Evangeline Lilly did, too, as the Wasp. Great heroine now for, hopefully, we see more of the Wasp. And, of course, Evangeline Lilly, very easy on the eyes. She really did a great job acting, too. Let's head on into the actual ending, which is Hank, Janet, Hope, and Scott are on the roof of a building, and they built a smaller quantum tunnel.
They shrunk the big one, actually.
Right. They shrunk the big one. Of course, they have Luis's van. They are getting energy from the quantum realm to help Ghost. Scott is sent into the quantum realm and ends up being stranded there. And I'll let you talk about that, Ethan.
Yeah, that was a big callback to Infinity War. And I remember going into this film wondering how, if at all, it was going to tie into Infinity War. And by the end of the movie, I was so engrossed in the adventure that these characters were on, I completely forgot about any connection to Infinity War. And then when Scott radios back in to be extracted from the quantum realm, and we find that Janet and Hope and Dr. Pym have all been part of Thanos' finger snap culling.
For sure.
And Scott is now trapped in the quantum realm, which is not a good place to be trapped in. That was just like a gut punch of a reveal. And in a lot of ways, you know, I was thinking like, oh, what a refreshing change from Infinity War. And then pow, you know,
yeah,
punched right in the gut and walked out of the theater almost with some of that same Infinity War heaviness of like, wow, this is still something in the Marvel universe that, you know, is going to have huge ramifications.
Yeah, for sure. So we know why, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp weren't in Infinity War. You know, they were busy elsewhere. Of course, Scott is trapped in the quantum realm. Joe, do you think Scott will have a part to play in Avengers 4?
Oh, absolutely. I think he absolutely has a part of Avengers 4. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think he might have a part to play in Captain Marvel as well.
Hmm.
That comes out in March.
Very good.
That comes out before the next Avengers. So keep an eye out for that, because we know Captain Marvel can travel through space and time, I believe.
Wow, very good call there. All right.
Yeah.
So way to wrap it up. All right. So wrapping it up for Box Office Bros, both you guys are going to recommend the movie to our audience. And Ethan, tell our listeners where we can find you on Twitter.
Absolutely. I am at Ethan Cultumiro on Twitter. And you can also follow my cartooning on Facebook at Ethan Drew That. It's facebook.com/EthanDrewThat.
Right on. And Joe, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Joe Mandel. And then also for our fantasy football related questions, you can find me and Tooch at FFB Goon. So we will be very busy in the coming weeks, Johnny Boy.
Yes, we will. We are part of the Bears Barroom Radio Network, Fantasy Football Goon, and the Box Office Bros. Follow the Box Office Bros podcast at the BOB Podcast on Twitter. And follow me on Twitter, Santucci_John. And you can find all of our podcasts at bearsbarroom.com. So for Box Office Bros, thanks again, Ethan, for being with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And Joe, thanks again for always being there on Box Office Bros.
Hey, not a problem, bud. And before we wrap up, a big congratulations to you on the birth of your daughter.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right. Camilla Rose Santucci, born July 7th.
Very excited.
Yes, very excited. Thank you, guys. So Box Office Bros is Tooch signing off. We'll see you at the movies.
Because we robbed you. Do you remember? That's us.